Ladies and gentlemen, I intend to do a few short considerations about the Romanian anti-communist armed groups. The Romanian anti-communist movement, which left unsaid more than 40 years, benefits now by a real great number of academic works which cover the various type of documents, studies, volume of documents, diaries and memories, oral history. The interest for this subject is easy to understand. First of all, in Romania and especially abroad, less to nothing was now about the brave attitude of all those who did not hesitate to encounter, armed and determined, the communist state machinery of repression. A second explanation is offered by the numerous aspects that must be clarified relating to anti-communist armed resistance from Romania. How to characterize it in terms of time, space, number of members, what objective did they engage in, and by what means did they succeed. In spite of the relative large number of the studies dedicated to the resistance movement, most of the problems implicated by the phenomenon were treated only tangentially. Many books limited on the factual history or presented the leaders and evolution of one or another group. This stage, necessarily of course, is followed in the last period by the efforts of analyzing of the resistance movement. Scoring the stories told by survivors of the resistance movement or the documents written by the repression forces, one question detached itself. How was possible a small groups of fighters succeed and survive in spite of an uninterrupted persecution exercised in all possible ways whom the modern state put in hands of the repression forces? Romanian anti-communist authorities have been challenged for almost 16 years by this kind of armed groups, which kept alive for maintaining in conscience of a considerable part of the Romanian people the expectation and the idea that nothing is lost and the restoration of the communist regime are not forever. In search of the pertinent answer, we appeal to testimonies of the persons involved in the events, alike oppressors and victims. The testimonies, both spoken and written, put together with the information from the archived documents, made possible the identification of the factors that permit a long resistance in front of the communist regime. A first factor is represented even by the composition of the groups of fighters. These groups were heterogeneous from social and political point of view, but were led by the ex-officers and politicians with influence in the local area, people with an incontestable prestige, both members of groups and local population. The chiefs of groups benefit of a great authority between their own fighters, authority obtained before of constitution of groups on the front of the Second World War or in civilian life, or in time of confrontation with authorities when they prove real attributes of leaders and good fighters. This kind of authority conducted to an increasing loyalty of the members of resistance groups. Military skills in organization and leading of the operation, reshuffle of forces, construction of the shelters and armament and ammunition deposits, contributing to increase the chance of surviving of the resistance groups. Not accidentally, the most longevive groups, which created many difficulties to the securitative forces, were conducted by the ex-officers. Another aspect that must be emphasized has to refer to the provenience of the regular members of these groups. Many of them were peasants, good experienced in local condition, used to intense physical efforts, and after all, with front combat experiences and a good ability with the different weapons. Beside military acknowledgement and an excellent physical condition, the action area of the centers of resistance have favored a long-time resistance. Cantonment, especially in the mountain area, a forest regions and a difficult to access, these groups showed one more time multiple possibilities of using the advantage of the terrain in front of the numerical superior enemy. Like an outlaw from middle age, people from armed resistance know very well to use the possibilities offered by mountains and woods for camouflage, refuge, or for construction deposit of armaments, ammunition and food, and for realizing fast change of location far away from the eyes of persecution. Between the reason invoked in a report of the Securitate, which explained one of the numerous failure action against the forest people, the next figure. Action area of the bandits is very large, hilly ground and very difficult. The bandits appear on different places situated on the large distances. A quote closed. an important element for imposing the respect in front of the Securitate's officers was the armament present in the hands of the members of the resistance groups. Very brave in front of the disarmed prisoner from the cells, these officers became timid as a rabbit when they were confronted with free and well-armed fighters. Various kinds of armament used with ability by the fighters permitted a numerous breaks of enclosure or a good escape from the ambush created by the Securitate's troops. But, however much good fighters or well-armed, the members of the resistance groups never be succeed to maintain such a long time in position by opponents of the communist regime without the popular support. This aid was massive and complex and had an important role in the surviving of resistance. The Securitate's officers were fully conscious by the sympathy of the people of the forest among the local population, this thing being proved by the official reports. For instance, among the causes which conduct to failure of the capture of one group, figure the fact that principal bandits have serious connection in the village from the foot of mountains, where they have many relatives like brothers, sisters, cousins, godsons. Confronted with this reality, the Securitate's officer did not hesitate to propose radical measures like dislocation in other regions of the family of the forest people and relatives for determining people from villages who had or have connection with bandits to stop their help and to surrender to authorities. The Securitate's officer explained the popular support for the resistance either through the hostility of some kulaks or through by backward state of a part of peasantry. In a report about the problem of bands, waiting in May 1949, is mentioned the fact that resistance organization is based on organization from the foot of mountains, which are in direct connection and that are leaded in general by so-called intellectuals of villages, priests, notaries, attorneys, kulaks, and who succeed to polarize sufficient peasant elements, wealthies and even paupers, politically enlightened. In other situations, the Securitate's officers explain the popular support through the terror exercised by the members of the resistance groups over the population. For instance, in case of one group that was action on the south versant of the Făgăraș Mountains, the Securitate justifies the massive help through the fact that people, because of rumors created by gang, live under the terror, afraid to give some indication to political and administration organs, in spite of the fact that they know about the presence of bandits in village. The reality that people from neighborhood helped to members of resistance from sympathy and not constraint was fully demonstrated by the diversity of forms of aid supplied, from sheltering for one night and giving a few elements, until supplying with weapons, ammunition, medicaments and information about the Securitate's action, almost nothing was refused to the anti-communist fighters from mountains, people perceived like true exponents of the freedom aspiration approved by a large strata of society. In this sense, we believe that the most eloquent area are the numerous cases of double-cross informers who, under the pretext of searching bandits, explored off mountains and keeping current people from resistance with the lost news. These kinds of informers were so numerous that the Securitate was constrained to admit that the use of traitor and unmasked network, result of unchecked, makes Securitate's organs to unknow years and years nothing about the existence of bandits, permitting indirectly a large activity of them and to win numerous elements besides their hostile actions. The importance of popular support for surviving of resistance organization was understood, of course, by the members of this. With rare exception, people from resistance have strived to maintain the best relation with the population from the action area. Referring to the so-called Gavrila Band, the Securitate organs noted in November 1953. It's characteristic the fact that the band, in its action, tried to avoid the tension with population, doesn't plunder the private farm and course of attacks over the socialist farm, the members of band write the supporting documents, where all the elements and goods robberies are mentioned. The same importance in identification of cause which can explain the long survival of armed resistance from Romania, has the analysis of multiple structural deficiencies of the oppressors, in fact, the Securitate troops and militia. Besides of numerous advantages in unequal fight with forest people, the Securitate and their allies have denied tender spots. First weakness was represented by incompetence of the Securitate's officers. Recruited from manual workers or very poor peasants, faced through simulacrum of professional schools, the new officers were deprived of elementary notions relative to undercover operations and other methods of secret services. These lacks were replaced by an excessive brutality, but with minimum results. As a general rule, they work by intuition, disregarding even those orders asked especially by superiors. The most numerous failures happen in their collaboration with the informative network, and this reality had a bad influence in the action of Securitate troops. In July 1953, the Minister of Internal Affairs was simply furious about the new reported failures. As a result, he wrote the following resolution on a report sent by a Securitate branch from the country. It is impossible to catch anybody this way. There is no important informer. The reason for this situation lay into the improper methods which are still followed concerning the work of informing. The unprofessional manner in treating the informing work by the Securitate is to be blamed. But even though they succeed in getting real information, there were questions about how they use it, or if they use it at all. A document released by Securitate acknowledged that several actions against a number of bandits who were to be captured fell due to some weakness, such as the action was not prepared in details, the officers were not proper trained in fight techniques and had poor shooting skills. More important is that the action failed even if we had verified information got by our qualified agency. It is to be mentioned that we lost soldiers during this action. Another problem was the low level both in training of the Securitate troops and in their leaderships. The troops of the Securitate followed as an institution to the Gendarmerie and started in February 1949. Most of the officers of the Securitate troops came from Division Tudor Vladimirescu and Hurry Akloshka Shikrishan, which were formed in the Soviet Union during the Second World War, or became officers on no other grounds than their solid origin. Their poor military training caused hilarious situation in confronting the experienced soldiers. The documents wrote by Securitate back in those times are full of such examples of their incompetence, so we restrain ourselves to only one example. A report wrote in January 1953 mentions, there were some weaknesses in Securitate's troops, though there were no measures for camouflage. The land was not properly used, and ardor and silence were not respected. Soldiers not only made their tents in open air, next to the surveillance post, but they also washed and dried laundry, and so on. It was noticed a lack of instruction and a shy approach during the battles, and they shot some logs, trees, or deer, making visible their location to the enemy. Their actions were very noisy, and it was possible to be heard loud and clear. Some orders like, go to the left, comrade, go to the right, comrade, take no ocean, and so on. To all these failures, a great contribution was also made by their poor equipment, especially in means of communication and transportation. The written reports strongly emphasize and sometimes exaggerate these locks and material and techniques, trying more or less to justify their failures. As an example, the unsuccessful action to capture a group of resistance in June 1949 was explained through the impossibility to coordinate the movement of the troops because of no connectivity between those two groups. More than that, the phone cable was not properly isolated, the radio did not function, and that led to impossibility of taking action from troops' part. Similar problems were mentioned in one informative note regarding the action which took place in 1951 against resistance troops. It happened during our action that soldiers not be capable to use their arms, and in general the entire material to be unfit. This problem of less to no means of communication was actually very real. The information about the existence of one or another of these groups of resistance was received with great difficulties sometime after more days to the units. When these units reached the named place, the resistance group have already left. The communication among the units involved in the action, which took place in larger space, was very difficult. Some members of the resistance movement explained, with solid proofs, that a great importance in destroying the groups hidden in the mountains played the improving of the means of communication on the Securitate's part. Another premise in explaining the long-lasting fight of resistance against the communist regime was also the psychological support of the resistance members. Even if it is more difficult to strictly measure it, these elements had less the same importance as the previous ones. It is significant to remember the fact that most of them embraced this way and went to the mountains to fight because they believed that all of this, the entire situation, were temporary. They believed that the great democracy from the Occident, and especially United States, would not leave Romania under the communist oppression. They had this in mind, so they aimed to create new deposits for arms and ammunition, to identify proper places for landing or for troops descent, or even to realize concrete plans for the moment when the Anglo-American-Soviet conflict was to begin. Judging from the present moment, all these hopes seem naive. We need to remember that great political minds of the epoch believed in them. More than that, this belief was maintained with ability and unfair diplomacy by radio stations from Occident, like the Voice of America, BBC and Free Europe. Year after year, these fighters, hiding up in the mountains, stood next to their primitive radios, listening in despair every little comment of those posts in order to get themselves stronger in front of all the momentary difficulties. The Securitate document, but also the survivors' testimonies, confirm the continuous interest for the development of the international relationship and especially for the USA attitude. The members of the resistance groups strive to find out any news in any possible ways. News about everything is going on across the mountains and, more important, across the Iron Curtain. Their belief that some major political change have to happen soon was shared with the population in the area they fought. A shepherd from Făgăraș Mountain affirmed back in 1953 that he knows from the partisans about the war which is about to start. Actually, many active members of the resistance, or only supporters, were convinced by the leaders of those groups that soon enough the old regime will be reinforced and all of those involved in the anti-communist resistance will get important hierarchical position. These beliefs in Occidental interference remain untouched in their minds up to the events developed in Hungary in 1956. Occident's choice to stay away opened the eyes to many of those who found, up to those moments, resource to fight against the communist regime. The propaganda showed its real force and the determination to continue the fight was strongly diminished. Due to this non-combat attitude displayed by the great powers from the Occident towards the Hungarian revolt. And the result was predictable. The members of the resistance could no longer put up a fight due to all kinds of restriction and surrounded by an increased disbelief from all the previous supporters, internal or from abroad. The end of the 50s represents the last moments of a resistance, which seems the more heroic to us, the more was clear that the possibility for success was almost zero. The Romanian communist regime was not for a moment endangered by these groups of resistance, not at all. They had just an entirely symbolic role, something like the last and necessary signs of national pride of not surrendering without a fight to an aligned ideology, forced upon us by a great political power and perceived as an aggressor for 200 years. The anti-communist attitude and Russophobia mixed together in a long and powerful reaction. All the aspects of this armed reaction against communists have to be studied thoroughly in order to identify the lights and the shadow cast upon it and to understand once again the malicious character of this regime imposed between 1945 and 1989 to Romanian as a state. Thank you very much.